So be sure that we ask believing. And as we do believing, we'll find ourselves overcoming certain sins in our lives. For in Romans 14 and verse 23, it is noted to us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so when we look at a situation, we say, well, I don't know if doing this pleases God or not. I don't know if this is something I should do and that it will serve the cause of God better in my life or not. I just don't know if this is an okay thing with the Lord. We ought not to go ahead. It's not a matter of, as the world would say, in a court of crime, prove something to be wrong. Innocent until proven to be guilty. And prove someone to be wrong. The Word of God tells us that the Lord, in His Word, wants us to prove something to be right. And when we do not have faith in what we're fixing to do, faith in what we're fixing to practice, faith in what we're fixing to say, we ought not to say it. We ought not to be doing it. We ought not to be pursuing it further until we are sure that this is an okay thing with God, it's a right thing with the Lord. We should not pursue it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That helps us in that regard about that particular way of sinning in our lives. Many of the leaders of the Restoration plea in the Churches of Christ and the view of the Lord's teaching in His Word found themselves going back to the Scripture to find the worship of the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in 1 Corinthians, they found the five avenues of worship that we commonly practice today. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 14 to 15 and through 18, the singing, praying, and preaching of God's Word. And in 1 Corinthians 16, the giving into a common treasury, that the work of the Lord might go on, and that there be no gatherings when I come, Paul says, on the first day of the week. In the process of seeing these particular things in the book of 1 Corinthians, the reformers and the restorers wanted to go back and practice that very way of life. Some of them practiced that in fear. They were afraid for their lives. They met in small groups and silent groups, and as we had a little darkness pressed upon us last week, and I mentioned as we were in the kitchen area to have a little bit more light to see the songbooks by and so forth and so on, I mentioned that if this were a pressing thing all the time, we would have made preparation for it. We would have torches and we would have lanterns and we'd have lights and candles would be all over the place, and we'd have as much light as we have in this room all around us all the time if that were something common. But it's not a common thing. It happens ever so often. It happens many, many years apart most of the time. And we find ourselves adjusting to it. But think about the early Christians and think about some of the things that they faced in the restoration plea. And think about the fact that they were quietly there, that they sang, and they sang in fear that someone would hear them, someone would come in, someone would arrest them, someone would kill them as a result of their simple worship of the Lord in spirit and in truth. They sang a few hymns to encourage one another and to praise God. They prayed prayers for themselves, their families, and for the general public. They found themselves quietly partaking of the bread, remembering the Lord's body hung upon the cross and His blood that was shed for them in the fruit of the vine. They met there in that quiet place, partaking of the Lord's Supper, as it were. And then from their bounty and from the blessing that they had, they placed into a common treasury. And the preaching of God's Word was done to apply it to the things that they faced from day to day. And the temptations that they faced. Temptations to get over into a foolish way of life. Foolish to become drunken. Foolish to become prideful. Foolish to become profane in our lips and our words. Foolish to become worldly and earthly in our ways. Foolish to be an individual of covetousness and building up and not loving others and sharing with others. Foolish to be in these ways of life. God tells us to ask of God who gives to all men liberally this wisdom. But ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. So the Lord's Word tells us that the Lord loves and appreciates faith that we gain by study, wisdom that we gain by our prayer life. We pray and ask God for wisdom we begin to use it. And what's thy real purpose? Number three. Well, in seeking first the kingdom of God, like Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we'll make the proper application of that. We find ourselves with members of the church, members of the kingdom, preaching and teaching and talking to one another, praying with one another about mutual problems and difficulties that we face. And as a result of that seeking first the kingdom of God, we'll make decisions on the basis of what we do from day to day. How is this going to affect the kingdom of our Lord? Now we know the kingdom described in Colossians 1 and in verse 13 is the kingdom of God's dear Son, in which the saved are placed. And when we're saved from our sins, He places us in His body, in His kingdom. And yet that kingdom is addressed, that letter in Colossians 1 at 13. Look in chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. And you'll see it's taken to the church at Laodicea that they may read the same information and get the letter that I previously sent to Laodicea and read it yourself at Colossae. This letter written to the kingdom of God's dear Son in Colossians 1:13 are the same church people in Laodicea in Colossians 4. What do we find there? Well, we find that the same words that are used there are different to emphasize the kingship of the Lord and emphasize the called out people of the Lord. And so one in Colossians 4 is emphasizing the people that are called out to be special servants of God. And the kingship of the Lord is to be a part of His kingdom and follow Him. If we had the instructions of the king with us today, we'd find ourselves really concerned about any disobedience, any compromise, any taking for advantage. We'd find ourselves really concerned about, because that king has ambassadors and army and has soldiers that will defend him and defend his cause. And as a result, we'd be concerned about what we do and say about a king. Well, we have a king. And in this spiritual kingdom, Jesus is concerned about what we say and what we do and how we treat one another. Think about that. And as we apply that wisdom to the church, the kingdom of God's dear Son, seeking first the kingdom of God is what we're to do. It's not to be the last thing that we do. It's not to be after everything else is taken care of. It's not to be that we'll finally get to it. It's to be the first thing that we think about, the first thing that we do. And as a result of that, everything else will be in its rightful order, its rightful place, its rightful blessing. Everything else will be just right. And then finally, in Romans 15 and verse 13, the Lord wants us to have joy. May the God of hope fill you, he says there in Romans 15 and 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. As we believe and put into practice what he says, the purpose of confessing him, the purpose of repentance from sin, the purpose of baptism into Christ, the purpose that we have there in the Bible for us, it's a right thing of God for us to say, we're happy about believing. We're happy about doing the Lord's will. And he says there, may the God of peace, may this God of great joy, grant you this joy and this peace in believing. May this God help you to realize that this is a joyful, joyful thing. Well, are you with us today? And as you consider these matters, say, I'm not in the kingdom of God's dear Son. How do I come into the kingdom of God's dear Son? You say that saved people are added by the Lord to His kingdom. Colossians 1 and verse 13 tells us that, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You can do that today. And as you read along there in Colossians 2 and 12, you'll see that those people of faith, repenting of their sins, were said to be buried in baptism, wherein you're risen with Him through faith and the operation of God. And so it is that things are ready for you today. Clothing is provided. Water is being warmed even as I speak right now. And it's been warming since 8 o'clock this morning. And we look forward to your obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today and being added to the kingdom of God's dear Son, in which you can live by a growing faith, by hearing God's word and adding that faith up to your life, by which you can pray for wisdom, by which you use that faith, by which you can seek to honor the kingdom of God first in your life and be a blessing to you and to others. And you can live with the joy that God wants you to have, a joy and peace in believing.